we're doing put off and put on, and you haven't really put off until you've put on. You're not rehabbed of what you had to put off till you've put on. You're doing a different thing from what you used to do. This morning, for our opening text, we're in Ephesians chapter 4. I'll read it for you. Please follow verses 29 to 32. This is God's wonderful and holy word. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. So I want to make some comments as I read this text. Corrupting, it's the Greek word sapros. It means rotten. It's rotten fruit. So there's rotten fruit talk. Think about, go out and open your trash can and stuff's been in there for a week festering in the heat of your garage and smell it. Let no talk like that, like rotten fruit in the trash can of your soul. Don't let any of that come out of your mouth. So it might try to get out, but your brain stops it before it gets to your vocal cords and says, wait a minute, we're not letting that one out. They shouldn't have to endure me saying that. They shouldn't have to sit there and take me saying that thing in that way. It's not right to them. It's not loving to them. It's not kind to them. It's not gracious to them. Lord, stop those words from coming out of my mouth. Let no corrupting, rotten talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good. So really you want to change your heart so there's only good thoughts in your heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So only good words come out of your mouth. Words that are going to build up. You come into the room, your husband, your kids are there. Your wife and the kids are there. And they all know, oh, dad came in the room, mom came in the room. This is going to be good. This is going to build up. Whatever comes out of dad's mouth, whatever comes out of mom's mouth, I know it's going to build up. As fits the occasion, need to build up this way sometimes, that way other times. And that it may give grace to those who hear. You become a minister of grace. You become a vehicle of grace to your hearers so that when you're all done, they feel built up and they've experienced grace. They haven't had to sit there and experience your anger, your clamor, your evil speech, your corrupt talk. They got to experience your gracious speech that builds up. This next phrase is in the same context. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. When corrupting talk comes out of your mouths, you're grieving the Holy Spirit who is there to make you holy, who is there to produce the fruit of the Spirit in you, which is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit who's working those things in your soul. And let all bitterness, anger that has stewed in the crock pot of your soul, and wrath, that's extreme anger, that's anger on steroids, and anger, just plain old anger. Let me just say a word about anger. We already had a sermon on that, but I want to add something. I didn't get it in the sermon then, I'm going to get it in now. Terrible form. Don't tell anybody. I'm doing this. Really world-class Christian counselor people, and we identify them. There are such, and we read their literature and we listen to their stuff, and they're really good, sound people. Been following that group for 50 years. They're good, sound people in Christian counseling. And they will tell you, they will all tell you, that almost always the person who's really angry doesn't know it. They're blind to their own anger. To them, it just feels like, I'm speaking justice. I'm speaking righteousness. I'm telling people what they need to hear so the situation can be remedied. They are completely oblivious to the ugliness and the destructive consequences of their anger coming out in angry speech. But let all bitterness and wrath and anger, and now we get to the speech, and clamor. What's clamor? Clamor is the speech that goes with these things. So clamor is angry talk. Clamor is loud angry talk, but it doesn't have to be loud. You can talk very softly and be very angry. And that's clamor. And slander is a speech that goes with this. I'm mad at you. I don't like you. I want others to not like you. I'm going to say bad things about you. They might be true, but they shouldn't be uttered. They might be false. I imagine them in my mind. I don't view you in love. I take what you said in the worst possible way, and I tell other people about it. That's slander. So these clamor and slander are the words that go with anger and wrath and bitterness and malice. Let those be put away from you along with all malice. Malice is, I don't like you and I want to hurt you. I'm going to damage your reputation if I can. I'm going to turn other people against you if I can. That's malice. Now, when are you rehabbed? When you're this. but be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, gladly, easily. It's already forgiven in my heart. So glad you asked. Yes, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. What a text. Ephesians 4, 29 to 32. Title of today's sermon is Bad Talk, Good Talk. Bad talk, good talk. You're in Christ Jesus now. You're a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That includes your talk. Jesus goes to work on your heart, which changes your talk, but he also directly addresses your talk. He doesn't want you talking the way you used to talk. He wants to change the way you talk to people, the way you treat people, the angry talk, the clamor, and the slander that go with the anger. Jesus Christ, in this text, in our text today, goes to work on our speech. Let's pray that his word would not return to him void. Would you bow with me, please? Holy Father in heaven, thank you that by your grace, Lord, by your exceeding grace, we are your blood-bought children. Christ is our God and Savior. And we bow before you, the Trinitarian God, and ask, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, meaning in my life on earth, in this part of the earth. May your will be done in me, Lord. Have your way in me today. If the text needs to beat me up a little bit, then, oh Lord, I bow, let it beat me up. If the text then needs to pick me up and brush me off and fill me with the Holy Spirit, oh Lord, may it be. But may your word not return to you void today. May it accomplish in each one of us what you intend. For we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. All right, we're going to start off with two case studies in bad talk and good talk. First one is Job's wife. You know the backstory. Calamity has come to Job, and so to his wife, to the family. Calamity has fallen upon them. Job responds to that calamity in a godly way. His wife responds to that calamity in a different way. And here's what we read about her. Here's what she says. Here's what his helper in following God faithfully says to him in this occasion of their calamity. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. Hope none of you wives will ever say a thing like that to your husband. Hope none of you husbands will ever say a thing like that to your wife, just because God allows some difficulty into your soul. She is deconstructing her faith right before his eyes. You want to know what I think of your God? Curse him and die. End it all. Commit suicide with the curse of God on your lips. He said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women would speak. There are foolish women. There are foolish men. There are people who say foolish things, and he's disappointed in his wife. You speak like one of the foolish women. Bad talk, very bad talk. That was clamor, angry talk. She's angry at God. It was corrupting speech. She's angry about what God allowed to happen to them. And her response, curse God and die. That's what's in her heart about God. That's case study number one, bad talk. Here's case study number two. It's good talk. Another woman in the Old Testament. She happens to be the Old Testament's, I'm going to give it away, it's too easy. I'm going to ask you if you know who it is. The Old Testament's quintessential woman and model of godliness. Who is that? That's the Proverbs 31 woman. Wasn't as easy as I thought. You were thinking, Sarah? All right, I get it. Okay. The Proverbs 31 woman, a model of good talk. Proverbs 31, 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom. Oh, good, mom's here. It'll be wisdom. Oh, good, my wife's here and she wants to talk. It'll be wisdom. She's got a reputation for this. This is her habit. She always does this because she thinks and thinks and works in her soul and works in her thoughts and weighs things and gets it all straight before she lets it come out. It's to glorify God and bless people. She opens her mouth with wisdom. Men, you want to be like her. Women, you want to be like her. We want to be like her. This is when you're rehabbed from bad talk. When every time you open your mouth, wisdom comes out. Wisdom from God, wisdom from the Word. And, not just wisdom, but, and the teaching of kindness. In Ephesians 4, what's the opposite? But be kind to one another. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Oh, good, mom's here. She's kind. Oh, good, my wife's here. She's kind. She'll open her mouth and speak with wisdom. Wow, marry that girl. She's single, you're single, you meet her. Marry that one. You got a good one. You got a keeper. This is a good goal for a man or a woman. I want to be like that, Lord. I want just wisdom to come out of my tongue and kindness. Wisdom, the best means toward the best ends, and kindness. These are both the opposite of clamor. These are the opposite of fighting words, angry words, loud words. So two women, one bad talk, the other good talk. Next, those were our opening case studies. Next, I want to show you how important good talk is and how damaging bad talk is. Just three references on this. Three references, this is a topical message. How good, how beneficial, how important good talk is, and how bad, super bad talk is. So this is about the importance of taming your tongue. Here's the first of the passages. It is Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander, part of our opening text, be put away from you. This is right there in Ephesians chapter 4. This is prime time in the Word of God. It must be important. Paul doesn't say much to us about our speech, but he says this. This must be important. It's really important that we put away clamor and slander. So here's a good goal. For the rest of my life, I don't ever want clamor on my tongue again. I don't want slander ever on my tongue again. And neither do I want them in my thoughts, so I'm going to work in my soul, work with my thoughts, work with what's in my heart, so that I'm never clamoring, angry words, loud angry words, never doing that. No, I'm going to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, the speech that goes with them, and slander be put away from me. There should almost never be a time when you do loud, very angry talk. I can think of a time when I would, probably. It'd probably be very loud and very angry and might even drop some bad words in it, and that's if some evil attacker is coming at me and my wife. I want him to be very sorry he picked us. I think that would be justified. More likely, I don't know, I've told you, I'm not I don't feel anger. I'd probably just be like, cool fighting machine. Cool, calm, and collected, but dangerous. Gentlemen, you need to be capable of being dangerous, but that's off topic. All right. So it must stop. Let all clamor and slander be put away from you. No exception. All of it. Put it all away. I don't want my wife to ever again hear me talking to her in an angry tongue. I don't want my husband ever. I don't want my kids. Now, there's a big order. I don't want it to be angry. Well, my dad's an angry man. Well, my mom's an angry woman. She's always angry. He's always angry. I'm always getting angry. That should never be. May it not be. Trying to raise children who will love the Lord, your Lord. You're showing them by your behavior what he's like, what life is like in his kingdom, and how real this thing is. It changes people's tongues. It changed my mom's tongue. It's important. Here's another passage, James chapter 3. This is striking. Striking. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, right? Where does this forest fire start? One little spark, one little match, one cigarette still lit, thrown down into a pile of leaves. You can burn down half of Southern California because they get the big fires. That wasn't intended to be a comment on what I think of Southern California. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. So little thing, little member of your body, massive impact out there in other people's souls. The The tongue is a fire, a world, a whole world of unrighteousness. James really landed hard on the tongue, the unrighteous tongue, the uncontrolled tongue. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and is set on fire by hell. That's the tongue unrestrained. That's the tongue out of order. That's the tongue off the rails. That's the ungodly tongue. That's the uncontrolled tongue. It has such power. Your elbow doesn't have that power. Your nose doesn't have that power. Your eyes don't have that power. Your tongue is such a little member, and it has so much power to affect other people for good or for ill. For every kind of beast and bird, a reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. Bad news. But you can make a great big dent in taming it. It is a restless evil. True? It's restless. Do you ever have a day where you don't say a word? Most days you're talking all through the day, right? It's restless. You ever have a month where I'm going to take a month off from talking. I'm tired of talking. Take a month off. You never do that. No, it's a restless evil. It's evil because there's evil in our soul, so the evil comes out on our tongues. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Full, it can be, full of deadly poison. Don't you let it be. Let it be full of kindness and grace that builds up and ministers to the need. But the tongue, unhinged, can be just that. It's important that we work on our tongues. It's important that we address our speech. What wonderful effects it can have on others, what damaging effects it can have on others, on a wife, on a husband, on parents, on kids, on friends, on a church. It's important that we tame our tongues. Third and final passage about the importance of this, is here's what our Lord Jesus says about this, Matthew 12, 36 and 37. But I tell you that every careless word, so that would include clamoring words. That would include slandering words. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. Whoa, that's important than how I speak. Even just thoughtless, careless words. What about the ones I really meant? I'll give an account for it in the day of judgment, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. My. How important are my words? How important is it that I bring my words into subjection to my Savior, the Lord Jesus, that the kind of words that come out of me are shaped by the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit as a new creature in Christ Jesus? Man, I want to get serious about my words. I want to offer my body as a living sacrifice, and that includes my tongue. I want to put my lips and my tongue and my vocal cords on the altar. Here they are, Lord. Use them to bless people, to build up, to strengthen, to encourage, to give grace. All right, it's important. Three passages. So we saw two case studies. Now three passages, how important it is. Now I want to move next to, here's a heading, general principles about our speech from the Bible's wisdom literature. Specifically from one part of the wisdom literature, which is the Proverbs, and then the book of James, that's New Testament wisdom literature, a few other places. Some general principles about our speech that are, I think, very apropos. First is Proverbs 15:11. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them. It's kind of amazing that was there in the days of the Old Covenant with dietary restrictions and don't eat this or it'll defile you and don't eat that or it'll defile you and don't eat that or it'll defile you. But the fact of the matter is those foods don't really defile. They only defile you because God has put them off limits for you Jewish people to keep you separate from the goyim, the Gentiles in the land. So you won't eat with them and then become friends with them and then become like them. The dietary regulations weren't about pig actually defiles. They were about, I want to keep you separate from other people, so we're ruling out certain foods that they like. You won't be eating with them. But the fact of the matter is right here in the proverb, what goes into someone's mouth does not defile them. But what comes out of their mouth, because that comes from their heart. What comes out of our mouths, that is what defiles us. So if rotten words are coming out of my mouth, then you say, that guy, he's rotten words. He's defiled. The rotten words defile me. My words have the power to defile me. And because I'm letting those words out, it's defiling me in the sight of other people. Let's go on, Proverbs 13:3. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Notice the word guards. Now that's going to be that or other words that mean the same thing. Going to be repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated. And I want you to notice that one of the main things God in his word teaches you about your speech, so that it will be holy and not unholy, so it'll be gracious and kind and thoughtful and not damaging and angry and malicious. One of the main things he tells you about your speech is to learn how to control it through the spirit of self-control. Control your speech, control your anger, control the words that come out of your mouth. Whoever guards, that word guards is going to come up again and again and again, and other similar words. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. So you want to guard. How can we picture that? What can we imagine? So let's imagine this. So you have a little guard. He's standing right there. You have another little guard. He's standing right there. They each have a sword. Shield, their little guards standing right there, and they're looking down inside to any word that's coming up. And they see that angry word, they see that malicious word, they see that unkind word coming up, that ungracious word, and they snap your mouth shut. They don't let it out. Whoever guards his mouth. So one of the things we have to do in following Jesus Christ, he's refashioning us in his own image, is he's teaching us to guard what we say. Don't let certain things out. Ultimately, we'll see more on this later, you want to change your heart so those things aren't there in the first place. But all right, sometimes they are there. Guard your mouth. One of the Bible's most basic and repeated teachings on what to do about your speech is guard it. Guard it. The contrast is he who opens wide his lips. Isn't that a picture? And it just all comes out. There, I gave them a piece of my mind. Now, he opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Yeah, you'll ruin your marriage. You ruin your relationship to your kids. You'll ruin things at church. You'll ruin things at work. Might lose your job over that. Might lose your house because you ruined your marriage and can't afford that house anymore because she gets half and et cetera, come to ruin if you don't guard your mouth. Here's another guard passage. This one has a promise, however. Proverbs 21:23. Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. Calamity. Remember the cowgirl? I guess I could call her that. Calamity Jane? Yeah, I don't want to be Calamity Steve. And you don't want to be Calamity you. So what do? Guard your mouth and your tongue. It'll keep you from calamity. It'll keep you from bad things. Why is it important that I guard my mouth? One reason, they should not have to sit under my angry talk, my clamoring. They should not have to experience that. I should never make them experience that. I don't want them to experience that because I love them and I want to be kind to them. That's one reason. But also, I want to guard my mouth because it's going to get me in trouble. Calamity, trouble, bad things happen when you're not guarding your mouth. In Christ, you should be able to guard your mouth because the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. It's also love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I want the fruit of the Spirit. I'll guard my mouth. Here's a prayer about this. This is from Psalm 141:3. Poetic books, not wisdom literature, but here it is. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. You're feeling weak. You know you're failing in this. You know you're struggling with this, but you want to be rehabbed, so only kind and building up comes out. And so part of this is you're going to pray for this. O Lord, I'm weak. Would you please set a guard over my mouth? Would you intervene? Would you stop those words from coming out of me? Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door My lips, your lips are a door. You can open the door wide and let all kinds of bad stuff that damages people come out. Don't do that. No, set a guard. Oh, Lord, please help me with this. I'm failing and it's damaging things. I'm failing and I'm hurting people that I love. Set a guard, oh, Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. If you're a person who's really struggling with these things, that'd be a wonderful verse to memorize and put it on 3x5 cards on your steering wheel and in the mirror and everywhere else so that you see it and see it and see it and see it. Put it on your lock screen every time you open your thing. There it is. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Here's another one, same theme. And there are many more than I'm even going to give you, but here's another one. Proverbs 10:19. Different nuances. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is what? Many words. What this means is it's Friday night, you argued all night. It's Saturday and you argued all day. It's Sunday and you argued all day. It's Monday morning and you got to go to work, but you get a little more arguing in before you go to work. No, don't do that. Don't ever. If you're doing that, stop. Don't ever do that. Where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. That many words coming out of your soul and there's remaining sin in your soul, some wrong words are going to come out. But he who restrains his lips is wise. To restrain. Anybody like Westerns? A lot of good old Westerns. You can watch them and they're clean. I like Westerns. Even some newer ones. And in many Western movies, there's going to be a stagecoach. Maybe it's got six stallions out front there, and there's the driver up there on that wooden bench holding the reins, and he's been driving them, and they're rolling, man. We're trying to get to town fast, and then he's got to stop for something. And what's he do? He pulls back the reins, and he says, "Whoa," adding what the horse hears to what the horse feels. Whoa. That's what you need to do with your vocal cords. That's what we need to do with our lips. That's what we need to do with our tongues. I want to restrain my lips and I'll be wise. So you're consciously pulling back. I'm in a conversation. The conversation's getting dicey. The conversation's getting difficult. And it's not with Debbie. That doesn't happen. But anyway, the conversation's getting difficult. Somebody's upset at me. I'm really starting to feel it. Like, this is going bad. This isn't working good. And there are things I think of saying, and I say to myself, don't say it. Right? Don't say it. Don't go there. Just listen. Just remain pleasant. Just smile. Soft word turns away wrath. Try and say something soft. Try and say something kind. Try and say something thoughtful. Don't say it. I'm coaching my lips. Don't let those thoughts out. Don't let those words come out. Here's another one, Proverbs 17:27-28. Picks up again on this idea of restraining your words. He who restrains his words has knowledge. Whoa, boy, don't let that out. And he who has a cool spirit. The cool spirit as opposed to an angry spirit. You can stay cool. He who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Man, they can dish it out to you and you can just sit there and be cool and thoughtful and weigh your words, say something that you hope is going to help. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. He's sitting over there not saying anything, just looking at y'all, and you're thinking, man, what's he thinking? He must really be wise. Actually, he's a fool in the text. But he's considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is counted prudent. What's the point? We should do more closing our lips. We should say less. Don't have long, drawn-out arguments. They just do harm. You need to have an agreement. Hey, if one of us notices that this is starting to turn into an argument, then the one that noticed it has the authority to say, and the other one will submit to that authority, has the authority to say, wait a minute, we're turning this into an argument. Let's stop. Let's give sweet reason an opportunity to return. Let's take it up another time. Here's another one. I like this one. Proverbs 15:28. Thank you for hanging in there with me on these. Proverbs 15, 28. The heart of the righteous. Oh, I want to be that. I want to have the heart of the righteous. What's it do? It weighs its answers. There's three possible answers. Weigh that one. Weigh this one. Oh, that's bad. There's the one that's wisdom. There's the one that's kind. There's the one that might help. Weigh in your... Don't just let whatever you're thinking come out. No, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes. Gushes evil. Gushes. It just gushes. What's the most famous geyser in these United States? Old Faithful in Yellowstone National Park. I looked it up because I didn't know. How often does Old Faithful gush? On average, once every hour and a half. Don't be Old Faithful with your words, with your angry words, with your clamor. Just gushing. The mouth of the wicked gushes. I'm around him yesterday, my husband, he's gushing evil at me. I'm around him today, he's gushing evil at me. I'll be around him in 10 years from now if he doesn't change. He's gushing evil. He's always gushing evil. Never. You're in Christ. Never gush the evil. Never open wide the lips and let it all out. Jesus Christ is changing us. He's making us in his own image. He's producing the fruit of the Spirit in us. All our sins are forgiven by grace, but he's also changing the way we actually treat other people and the way we talk to other people. You say, well, I can't help gushing. I'm angry. You can help. You can help. Let me give you an example. I'll prove it to you. I guess this is proof. I'll give you an example that I think indicates you can help. So you're having a bad day. I'm going to make this one of you women because I want to set up a circumstance that you're in more than we are. And the kids, you got six kids, and they're being atrocious today, and you're feeling awful, and you got a headache, and you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Bad, bad, bad day. And you're just, you lost it, and you're going at them, right? You're going at them full force. And the phone rings. And you pick it up, and it's my wife. She's calling to talk to you about you're serving on the coffee team. Thank you for serving on the coffee team. And what do? Do you scream at her? No, you immediately are quite capable of completely turning off that anger and saying, oh, hi, Debbie. So nice to hear from you. How are you today? Oh, I would love to serve this Sunday. So sorry you needed a volunteer. But yeah, I'll step in right in. And then you hang up and then you go right back to it. You know how to turn it completely off and you know how to turn it back on. So don't tell me I can't help it. You can help it. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will with the temptation, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will also make a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Can't say can't. No, God gives you a way. You know how to flip the switch. You can control it. Here's another one, Psalm 39, 1. I said, I will guard, there's that again, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle. Now we get a new idea, a muzzle. You've been around a horse, and they have a muzzle so they don't eat too much grass. You've been around a horse, they have a muzzle so they don't bite the other horses. You got a dog, you're taking your dog for a walk in the park. He's mean and nasty. You put a muzzle on him so he doesn't bite any dogs or any children or anything. A muzzle. Muzzle that mouth. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle to stop your words. New Testament wisdom literature, James 1:26. We're almost finished this part of the sermon and we'll be into something else. James 1:26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, all right, I'm spiritual, I'm a Christian, I follow Christ, I'm pretty mature, I've grown a lot in the Lord. If anyone thinks himself to be there and yet does not bridle his tongue, then you're not what you think you are. Like one of the most basic, fundamental, first skills you learn as a child of God is bridle that tongue, speak in kindness, grace, and wisdom. Control the anger. Don't let those angry sentiments come out. That's clamor. And if you think, yeah, I'm a pretty strong Christian, but you're not bridling that tongue, you're deceiving your own heart. And look what he says. This man's religion is worthless. Worthless as far as the effect it's supposed to produce in you. It's worthless. Galatians 5, I mentioned it. Let's look at it. But the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. control in what? Well, in lots of things, in anger and angry words. Self-control. You can turn it off. So, in the wisdom literature and some other related things in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there is a massive, massive emphasis on guarding, restraining, holding back. Whoa! The words that come out of your mouth, on weighing them, letting the right ones come out, not letting the wrong, the damaging ones, the hurtful ones come out. Massive emphasis. So we've seen a case study. We've seen the importance of the tongue and tame it. We've seen some wisdom literature. Now I want to take you back again to our opening text. I'll read it, Ephesians 4, 31 to 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, all of them, along with all malice. Be kind. When am I rehabbed? When this is what they get from my words. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you, Ephesians 4, 31 to 32. Put that off. Clamor, put it off, so you don't get angry and you don't get loud anymore. Why? Because you'll damage things. Why? Because they should not have to experience that. Like, if you're angry and you're angry at me, hold it back. I shouldn't have to experience that. It's damaging. It'll damage the relationship. It'll damage me. It might damage me psychologically. I might sleep poorly for 3 nights. Rehearsing and rehearsing and rehearsing. I do that. Things looping in my brain. It's 2 a.m. Does anyone else do that? Okay, I'm not alone. Thank you. Oh, it's good to have comrades. They shouldn't have to experience that. Let me just note again, I said this earlier in a previous message, but we don't affirm somebody's anger. We tell them to get it in control. We should not have to sit there and experience their angry. I'm angry, and you need to sit there and experience my anger and affirm it. No, not in God's word. No, I will admonish you about your anger. I'm not supposed to experience it. So now I want to kind of turn a corner, and we're going to go to clamor and our hearts. I mentioned it a few times along the way. Now let's make it a point. We're going to go to clamor and our hearts. Here's a phrase. Putting off bad words and putting on good words is a heart. It's a heart issue. Jesus, Matthew 12, 34 to 35. You brood of vipers, you bunch of snakes. I know Christians who would tell Jesus that that's not very like Jesus. But it is Jesus. And Jesus said, you bunch of snakes. How can you speak good when you are evil? See, the reason you're speaking evil is because you are evil. What's coming out is what's in there. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For, he says it here, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If there's a lot of anger in there, anger comes out. If there's a lot of critical in there, critical comes out. If there's a lot of proud in there, proud comes out. The good person, out of his good treasure, that's what he's got in there, brings forth good. In Christ, oh Lord, I want that to be me. That's what his Holy Spirit is working in me to produce, so that I would be the good person out of my good treasure bringing forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil, which is clamor and slander, heart issues. Your heart has been changed by grace. There should be no more clamor, no more anger, no more of those words coming out of you. There's only measured, wise, self-controlled, gracious, thoughtful words, because that's what's in your heart. Oh Lord, work deeply in me and in you, in us. A little bit more, another verse, Colossians 4, 6, sister text to Ephesians 4. Let your conversation be always full of grace. We saw the word grace already, that our words may minister grace to another. Here it is again. Let your conversation, you're talking with your wife, full of grace. Talking with your kids, full of grace. Talking with your husband, full of grace. Talking with your pastors, full of grace. Some people want it this way, they do. Some people want it that you have to give me grace, but I'm going to give you law. Grace for me, law for you, sorry. Some people actually act that way. Like, if you say the slightest thing wrong, they're going to be all over you. That wasn't gracious. Meanwhile, they're driving Sherman tanks over your head. Law for you. No. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Lots of grace. When your husband's going to have a conversation with you, he knows it's going to be a gracious conversation. Your wife's going to have a conversation. She knows it's going to be a gracious conversation. Parents and children, gracious. People and pastors, gracious. We treat one another graciously, kindly. Back to Ephesians 4:29, and then I'll have a few closing comments, and we'll be done. Thank you for hanging in there. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome, sapros, rotten, corrupting, the other translation we saw earlier said, don't let that talk come out of your mouths. Don't let it out. Hold it back. Whoa. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Lord, help me that that's all my wife will ever get from me. For the rest of our life together on earth, that's all that will come out of my mouth to her, that it may benefit those who listen. Lord, help me that would always be the case, that I would benefit my wife by my words. Okay? Did you get a message here today? Did you get some points here today? Was there anything clear? Any take-homes in this today? All right, let me give you two closing thoughts. Number one, this is to comfort you. Let's just admit it. We will all fail at this. But you don't have to be failing massively. The fail can get fewer and farther in between. But we will fail. Remember James 3:2, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. Are there any perfect men or women here today? Let yourself be known. We want to meet you. None. All right, so we're all going to fail at this. There will be times when I say the wrong thing in the wrong way. There will be. And then what do? We confess and we repent and we express our sorrow and we make it right. But we will all fail at this. James again, James 3, 7 to 8. For every kind, we already saw it, see it again. Every kind of beast and bird, reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. So don't expect sinless perfection here. You are going to mess up sometimes. There's a fountain open for sin and uncleanness. And confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. But the tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison. You better watch that tongue. We will all fail at this. And a second thing, and this is my very closing part of this message, and we should pray for this. Back to Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth, we're praying. Oh Lord, let the words of my mouth, I'm praying about my words and the heart they come from and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Lord, I know you know the words that are brewing in my soul and they're wanting to come out. May the ones that actually brew there, may the ones that come to fruition, may the ones that actually come out, may they be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Struggling with that tongue, memorize this one. Pray it and pray it and pray it and pray it. The Lord will give you grace. You will change. May we, by the grace of God. Bow with me, please. Thank you, Father, for this time in your holy word. And we pray that you would tame our tongues. Again, we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, which is our reasonable service. Those bodies, O Lord, contain our tongues and our speech. We pray that you would make us much, much more the men, the women, the boys and girls whose speech ministers grace and brings blessing and heals and builds up and encourages and is kind and thoughtful and well-weighed. Lord, give us much, much more of that we may treat other people as they deserve to be treated, that we may bring glory to you, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And thank you, O God, that there is a fountain open for sin and uncleanness, the sins of the tongue. Thank you for your shed blood, which covers all our transgressions by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you like to talk with a Cornerstone pastor about